compute. Okay, hallelujah. Let me just, okay, that should be okay there. All right, so we're going into, again, last week we looked at Shalach Lecha, which means to send forth. But there's some additional notes I want to share from my other commentary that I have put together, and just some extra words of exhortation. Again, we're studying Numbers. We're taking the slow route because the Ruach has things to show us and how we are to walk out the Torah, again, in Messiah Yeshua, again, the spirit of the Torah, and walk by faith and not by sight. And here we can, from this teaching, we see, again, how the spies that were sent into the land, again, the Father allowed them to go in. It wasn't his perfect will, again, as the rabbis comment on, it was their perfect will to believe what he told them and to just go and take the land as he said was given to them. But they listened, again, to the wrong voice. And again, they ended up taking the long route another 40 years. So again, some key Hebrew words, shalach lecha means send for yourself. The word shalach, again, means to send. Nasi is prince. Again, each of the tribes had a prince, a leader over them. Tov is the word for good. And Ra'ah is evil. So here again, in this study, we're looking how an evil report they received, Dabah, was evil in God's sight, and that they should have listened to the good report through Joshua and Caleb, which was that, you know, it was God's perfect will to give them the land. And again, they failed to go in obedience. So here, just a little overview, the central section of the book of Numbers brings together events spanning 40 years. When the Israelites lived in and near Kadesh Barnea, and I'll show you the map here so you can see, have a visual of it. Down here is Kadesh Barnea, and this was the route they took into, again, Canaan, or which would be the promised land. And so Kadesh is a large oasis about 50 miles southwest of Beersheba. It marked the southern limit of the land of Canaan, or which is known as Israel now, according to 34:4. So when Israel reached there, they were on the verge of entering the promised land. They were on the verge of entering the promised land, but as a result of their rebellion, they spent another 40 years in the wilderness until they all died out. I just want to pause a minute. Can everybody see this okay?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, Rabbi.
Yes, Rabbi.
Thank you. Okay. So again, they spent another 40 years, again, wandering in the wilderness. Just a minute, just need to shut. So again, we learned from the past, you know, Hebrews 11 says that, I'm sorry, I got to be on hold. I have to go fix Minister Scott's screen. I'll be right back. Okay. So again, the Father allowed them, you know, Yahweh Elohim, to go spy out the land. It wasn't as perfect will, but again, he allowed them to go in, and we see the results. Again, practical application of Torah, Numbers 13:25, just as a little review here. They returned from investigating the land after 40 days. They traveled and returned to Moses, Aaron, and the entire community of B'nai Israel at Kadesh in the wilderness of Paran. They gave their report to them and the entire assembly. They showed the land's fruits. So again, they collected proof of the abundance that was in the land and brought it back with them. They gave their account to him and said, "We went into the land where you sent us. Indeed, it's flowing with milk and honey. This is some of its fruit." Except, okay, here again, they made the mistake. They said, "Yeah, we agree, it's great." However, okay, whenever you have however or an except, you know that they're going to start coming, speaking contrary what God already said. Except the people living in the land are powerful and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw the sons of Anak there. So right away, they're going by what they're seeing with their eyes. Amalek is living in the land of Negev. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and Amorites are living in the mountains. And the Canaanites are living near the sea along the bank of the Jordan. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, we should definitely go up and capture the land, for we can certainly do it. So here we see Caleb, again, agreeing with what God said and say, we can go up because God already told us it's ours. But the men who had gone up with them said, we cannot attack these people because they are stronger than we are. Again, listening to the voice of HaSatan, believing what they saw with their eyes instead of believing what God's word said. They spread among B'nai Israel a bad report about the land they explored. So you can just see each of these Nasis, these princes, going to their tribes and again, stirring them up, you know, saying, hey, we can't go in, we can't win, we're going to get killed. The land through which we passed to explore devours its residents, and all the people we saw there are men of great size. We also saw there the Nephilim, the sons of Anak are from the Nephilim, and we seemed like grasshoppers in our eyes as well as theirs. So again, they are looking to their natural strength instead of Yahweh's strength working within them, and the fact that there was a host of angels ready to back them up and do spiritual warfare along with them as they entered the land. The rebellion, although all through the night, just want to get, so I have some additional notes here, so I want to make sure I don't forget to see them. Okay. All through that night, the entire community raised up their voices and the people wept. All B'nai Israel grumbled against Moshe and Aaron and the whole community. If only we had died in Egypt. If only we had died in the wilderness. Why is Adonai bringing us to the land to fall by the sword? Our wives and our children will be like plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to return to Egypt? They said to each other, let us choose a leader and let's go back to Egypt. The Moshe and Aaron fell on their face before the entire assembly of the community of B'nai Israel. So again, we see that the effects of the evil report, all the congregation again cried aloud and wept all night. I mean, the enemy, again, this was the voice of the enemy speaking through these 10 tribal leaders. Okay, so they listened to the voice of the enemy instead of the voice of God. So they all cried out loud and wept. Again, a spirit of fear came on them. All Israel complained against Moses and Aaron. A spirit of rebellion came on them. They rather would have died in Egypt or in the wilderness than face the giants and possible death by their hands. Again, making HaSatan bigger in their eyes than the ability of God to deliver them, just like he delivered them out of Egypt. Israel accused God of deceiving them. You know, wow. I mean, it's like here, you know, God's presence is among them. Again, accusing God. Who is Satan? He is the accuser of the brethren. He is the accuser of Yahweh Elohim. That's why he fell, because of his pride and because he wanted the power. 5, they arose in open rebellion to make a captain and return to Egypt. So they were going to forcefully, start a mutiny and head back to bondage. Again, this is how the enemy lies and deceives people. It produced fear and cowardness. It aroused mob violence against the leaders whom they'd respected and trusted until now. So I want to pull up again what the Ruach had given me, laid on my heart, was, again, we see here the enemy, I'm trying to make this a little smaller here, for them to turn back and leave their calling. Again, the main message today is that we need to conquer the temptation to quit and to compromise. Again, we see that among the sons of Israel. Again, it's so easy to forget what the Father has done for you. It's so easy to forget how he's delivered you time and time and time, and how he's made provision for you and how he's delivered you. Again, instead of listening to the voice of the enemy, we need to, because he wants us to quit. He wants us to compromise. He wants us to give up and not fulfill God's calling upon our life. And we need to stand against that in the name of Yeshua. And not forget, again, I'm a big believer in writing things down, keeping a book of remembrance, keeping writing down every time you were healed, every time you were delivered, every time he provided for you, every time that, again, you needed to be healed or you had a need that need met. Why? Because when the enemy comes to tempt and test us, we forget very quickly that God had delivered us before. So we need to go back, say, no, Father, you did this and this and this for me. You know, and I know that you are going to make a way where there seems to be no way. Again, we need to remember. But here we see the Israelites totally forgetting the greatest miracle that is mentioned all through scriptures about the deliverance from Egypt, how God, again, supernaturally delivered them from the hands of one of the mightiest powers that existed at that time, and that was Egypt. How God miraculously opened the seas. Again, he made a way where there seemed to be no way, where they walked on dry ground. Again, that was a miracle. And how God protected them when the enemy was pursuing them from certain death and drowned the enemy instead. But here we see how the enemy twists God's word to make us think that that Yahweh is lying, that Yahweh will not keep his promises. Well, yes, he will. That's why it's important to meditate on the word, to speak the word, to hide that word in your heart, because our weapon is not carnal, but it is mighty through the pulling down of strongholds. Again, what is that weapon? Praying the word, speaking the word, praying in the spirit, standing, walking by faith. So here we see in Micah 7:8, do not rejoice over me, O enemy. Though I have fallen, I will arise. Though I sit in darkness, Adonai is my light. Proverbs 24:16, for though the righteous one may fall seven times, he gets up again, but the wicked stumble in adversity. So again, here we see, I mean, Israel hasn't even confronted the enemy yet. You know, they haven't have, and they already saw themselves dead and losing. But here again, Proverbs says, for though the righteous one may stumble seven times, you know, there's many times in our walk with Messiah that we may stumble, that we may fall, but we get up, we repent, we keep our eyes back, focus on the word, and we get right back up. We get right back doing what God's called us to do. But the weak, the wicked stumble in adversity. Never give up, never quit, never compromise. Believe, we see that in the life of Joseph, and especially Yeshua, because Joseph is really a type of Messiah Yeshua. That's why they call him Messiah ben Yosef, and he's also Messiah ben David in his second coming. But how, again, Yosef, even in the midst of adversity, of being betrayed by his brothers, being thrown into prison, being lied about, tempted in every way, he never gave up, and he never gave up his faith in Yahweh and Messiah. Again, he and God ended up putting him second in authority to Egypt. We see Yeshua, who was, again, 100% perfect. He kept the word 100%. He listened to the voice of the Father. He did everything the Father called him to do. He did not, when the enemy battled him in the wilderness spiritually and tried to tempt him with everything he had that, you know, to tempt him with, Yeshua just rebuked him with the word and, you know, and walked away. We need to make the decision that quitting is not an option for us, no matter what. We do not look back. Failure is, again, unacceptable. Breakthrough is on the horizon. Again, we have to stand. In Ephesians, having done all to stand, we continue to stand. Again, we're living in a time where the enemy is, again, I'm sure you felt it too, the spiritual warfare has increased. And we need to stay faithful. We need to stand on the word, because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Galatians 6:9, let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. Again, due time is the Father's perfect timing, not our timing. we need to, again, not lose heart, because, you know, maybe an answer to prayer isn't coming as fast as we think it should. Not to lose heart, again, to what he has called us to do, or his provision. You know, again, we've had, you know, this ministry, well, Deborah's Messianic Ministry is almost 25 years, the Way of Messiah, 17 years. And believe me, we had many opportunities along the way to lose heart and give up. But we were determined, again, to know the Father. He has called us. We need to remain faithful no matter what. Even if one person shows up, we need to be faithful. You know, even if things look like, you know, that, you know, again, in the natural, it may look like, hey, you're not accomplishing anything. But we don't know what's going on in the back. We don't know how many people are being ministered to, you know, from what's being taught on the website. You know, the enemy wants you to believe what you see instead of what God says. But he says, for in due time, which is his time, we will reap if we do not grow weary. And again, the enemy is trying to wear out the saints. Hebrews 6, 10 to 12, for God is not unjust so as to forget your work and the love which you have shown towards his name, and having ministered and still ministering to the saints. So the Father has not forgotten your work. The Father knows your situation. The Father knows the love that you have for him. Verse 11, and we desire that each one of you show the same diligence so as to realize the full assurance of hope until the end. Again, we need to be diligent. That means faithful daily, so that you will not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promise. Again, there's some things we've been believing God for 10 years. I was believing God to be in full-time ministry for 40 years. And what happened at the 40th year, I lost my job, which I was making really good money for a major, you know, for Marsh, which Marsh is like, again, a Fortune 500 insurance company. And all of a sudden they decided to close up the office and move it out of state because it was cheaper. And I was like, okay, Father, what do I do? And that's when he says, hey, to take a step of faith, now's the time for full-time ministry. And again, it has been a step of faith, but he's always provided. And, you know, again, we are not going to give up. We are not going to lose heart, but we are going to be obedient. Verse 12, so that you will not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Again, looking back at the faithful of Israel, looking back at those who, again, stood, believed for Messiah's manifestation, even though they didn't see it in their natural life. When Messiah came, again, when he went at his death, he went down and preached to the captive, those who, again, died in faith, those who were looking forward to him, and they saw the manifestation of Messiah, but they stood, and again, they were walking toward those promises that God gave Abraham and Isaac and Yaakov, through whom Messiah would come, through whom the inheritance would come. And they kept on walking by faith. And, you know, even though, again, maybe they didn't see it in their lifetime, they saw it in the spirit. They saw it come in the spirit. So why do people quit? Again, I was listening to this teaching regarding pastors. And one of the statistics is that 250 pastors a month quit the ministry because of the pressure, because of, you know, everything that comes against them. But you know what? We are not going to give up. We are not going to lose heart. We are going to trust the Father. Titus 1:2, based on the hope of eternal life, Yahweh Elohim, who cannot lie, promised this before the beginning of time. So we see all the way back his word from the very beginning that he created the heavens and the earth and man. Again, his promise, again, comes in his timing, and he does not lie. So when you read this word and you take hold of his promises, you better put more faith in what he said than what the enemy is trying to whisper in your ear, because he is a liar and he is a counterfeiter. Hebrews 6:18. So by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement to take hold of the hope set before us. Psalm 89:34, but I will not withdraw my loving kindness from him, nor will I betray my faithfulness. Our Father is a faithful Elohim. He is faithful to his word. I will not violate my covenant, nor alter what my lips have uttered. Isaiah 48, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God, the word of Elohim, stands forever. So again, we have that covenant in our hands. That our Bible is, it's a covenant. That's why they refer to the, what the church refers to as the old covenant, but I don't refer to it. I refer to it as, again, the Tanakh and, you know, his covenant contract, his covenant agreement with Israel. And the Father has never violated his covenant, but we have. Now we have, again, a covenant that is stronger than ever before, because that covenant, again, in the renewed covenant or the New Testament, is again covered by the blood, the eternal blood of Yeshua, our Messiah. Number two, we are unwilling to wait. We never develop the force of patience in our lives. Again, we need to learn how to wait in God's timing. You know, I like what Pat Boone said one time. He says, you know, God's not a microwave that you put your request in 30 seconds, it's there. We need to hold fast to the unwavering confession of hope. For he who promised is faithful, Hebrews 10:23. It doesn't matter, you know, how long it takes. The Father is faithful. It could be 1 year, could be 5 years, could be 10 years. Again, we've been waiting on some stuff for, you know, since we started this congregation, 17 years, but we know he is faithful and we're going to be faithful and we're going to trust him. Don't give up, because God is working, or Yahweh Elohim, in the background. Ephesians 6:13 to 18, therefore take up the full armor of Yahweh Elohim, so that you may be able to resist when the times are evil, and after you have done everything, to stand firm. So after you've done everything you know to do, you need you just to stand on his promises. Stand firm then, buckle the belt of truth around your waist, and put on the breastplate of righteousness. Strap your feet in readiness with the good news of shalom. Above all, take up the shield of faith, in which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of Yahweh Elohim. Pray in the Ruach on every occasion. Again, pray in the Ruach. You need to be filled with the Ruach. You need to pray in that heavenly language that he gave you, along with the word, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, keep alert with perseverance and supplication for all the Kedoshim, and that's all the brethren, Messiah. Also, I did a study on this, and again, the church sees it one way as the body of a Roman soldier, but as I was studying Torah and studying the garments of the priesthood, again, I see the garments of the priesthood in these scriptures, because remember, Paul was a Sadducee. He was a brilliant man. He knew the Torah inside and out. He knew the teaching of the sages inside and out. You know, he was, again, from the tribe of Benjamin, which is, was part of Judah. He, again, he says he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. So in my mind, I could see him, again, comparing this to, again, the garment of the high priest who comes before the Lord. And they have an article on that on my website. If you're interested, I can email it, a study on that. Number three, they don't spend enough time in fellowship and with Yahweh Elohim and his word. Again, the enemy, it wants to cause distractions in our lives. Again, I have to fight against that all the time as well. You know, that we don't become distracted, that we spend time every day with Yahweh and his word, because he will speak to us through his word. We're hiding that word in our heart. So again, we need to spend time, you know, if we don't have the word in us, if we don't spend time in the word every day, we're going to be easily deceived in the days we're living in. Acts 20:32. Now I commit to you to God or Elohim and the word of his grace, which is strong to build you up and give you the inheritance among all who have been made holy. John 1:1-5, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, or Elohim, and the word was God, Elohim. Now, this is referring to Yeshua. He was with God in the beginning, and all things were made through him, and apart from nothing was made that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overpowered it. The darkness cannot overpower us as long as we are walking in Messiah, as long as we are walking in the word and in obedience. The darkness has no power over light. Psalm 112, 6 to 8, surely he will never be shaken. The righteous are remembered forever. He is not afraid of bad news. His heart is steadfast, trusting in Adonai. His heart is secure, and he will not fear until he gazes on his foes. Again, fear is perverted trust in ha-satan versus faith, which is imuna, trust. The greater is he that is in us and he that is in the world, our Yahweh Elohim. You know, the enemy tries to deceive us, to make us, you know, try to believe that he is more power than Elohim, but Yeshua stripped him of his power when he rose from the dead. And because we are in Messiah, Yeshua said, all power and authority has been given to me. You there go for in my name. Again, he says greater things we would do because he is going to be with the Father. Why? Because there's going to be more has been multiplied in faith in him, and more can be reached. And in the day we have so many ways we could share the word and minister to people. Again, God's faithful will flourish, Proverbs 28:20. A faithful man will abound with blessings, but he who makes haste to be rich will not go unpunished. Again, our priorities have to be straight. We need to be faithful. Again, that word faithful is imuna. It means firmness, fidelity, and steadfastness and steadiness. Again, imuna, trusting, being faithful, and to stand in faith on his promises. The word blessings is bracha, and it means blessing, liberal, pool, present, prosperity. Again, prosperity is more than money. Again, yes, we need, you know, prosperity is not evil. It's how we use that prosperity. You know, again, prosperity is for the purpose of the kingdom of God. Prosperity is the purpose to have what we need to reach people, to have what we need to bless people. Remember when we rented this one Jewish synagogue in Westchester, when we first met with actually the president of the synagogue. And again, this was a miracle in favor that they, even while they were still meeting there, it was just a small group, they still allowed us to use their facility. And he says, you know, that prosperity message that, you know, they teach is wrong. He says, I've been listening to it. He says, you know what the Jewish idea is, or the biblical view of prosperity? And I said, well, I knew it because I've been studying, but I said, we just let him, you know, say it. And he says, it's to have enough to meet your needs and an abundance to meet others' needs. So again, we want to prosper, not for our own, God knows what we need, but so that we have an abundance that we can bless and help other people. Again, that's the balance message. Again, that we have an overflow of funds that we can be a blessing to others. We must remain faithful. Psalm 92, 12 to 15. We just read this. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our Elohim, or God. Again, we are in Messiah. You know, again, we are the temple, the Ruach HaKodesh. We've been called, you know, called to a priestly walk. It says that we will flourish in the courts of Yahweh or Elohim. They shall still bring fruit, for fruit in old age. Hallelujah, I receive that. They shall be fat and flourishing. Fat means, again, anointed and blessed, to show that Yahweh is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Again, my thought is, it's like, you know what? When you're called, there's no such thing as retirement. You don't retire from the work of God. It's like, you know, we're going to do this until our last breath, you know, hallelujah. It says you don't retire from the work of God. You may retire from your secular job, you know, but you don't retire from what God has called you to do. Galatians 6, 7, and 8, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he shall also reap. For the one who sows to the flesh will reap corruption from the flesh, but the one who sows in the Ruach will reap from the Ruach eternal. So again, going back to the congregation in the wilderness, because that's what it's referred to as, the congregation of Yahweh Elohim, because they were walking in the flesh. Again, they ended up not going into the land. They ended up, that generation died off, except for Joshua and Caleb, because they're the only ones that believed God, and of course, Moshe. But these are the ones that went in and brought back, again, you know, 10 a bad report, to a righteous report, ended up dying and never finishing their journey, never finishing and fulfilling all what God had promised them. They had to wait until the next generation would cross over. People give up quickly because they are moved by what they see, and that it looks like it's not working, instead of seeing by faith that it is working. Proverbs 1:7, the fear of Adonai is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. Proverbs 10:14, wise men store up knowledge, but the mouth of a fool is near ruin. Again, we see that in this in the example, that they listen to the voices of fools, because the ones that gave a bad report, again, were speaking evil and against Yahweh. But the wise men, Joshua and Caleb, stored up the knowledge, knew the promises of Yahweh, and says, hey, we can go in and take it. And eventually they did, with Joshua leading them in. Proverbs 14:7, walk away from a fool, for you will find no knowledge on his lips. Again, if somebody is, you know, talking against the word, or speaking doubt to you, walk away. Don't even, you know, listen to what they have to say. We need to listen to the word. Proverbs 18:2, a fool finds no delight in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion. Proverbs 24:7, wisdom is unattainable for a fool, for he does not open his mouth at the, he does not open his mouth at the gate. Proverbs 13:20, he who walks with wise men is wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. Again, you want to walk with people that believe God, that are trusting God, that have that wisdom. That word wisdom is chokmah, and it means, and it, again, it's one of the Hebrew words for wisdom. Again, knowing wisdom comes from the word. Wisdom comes from hiding that word in your heart. Wisdom, and again, that the word is stored in your heart. And as you're walking, he will, the Ruach HaKodesh within us will guide you and give you his wisdom, and maybe decisions you have to make. You know, whatever you need to do, we need to seek his wisdom on what we are to do. You know, just like the example that, you know, the congregation, the land that we're, you know, the church that we're meeting, yeah, to the eyes, you know, hey, this would be great. But you know what? The Father knows the perfect place for us. So we need to listen to his voice and be led by him. And we want his perfect will, because what may look good to our eyes may not necessarily be what the Father has for us. So again, we need that wisdom as we walk. We need to walk with wise men. Who's a wise man? The one that believes the word of God and lives a holy, separated, kadosh life. Galatians 6:7-10, do not be deceived. Again, God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he shall also reap. Although that could be negative and positive. You, again, you sow good, you're going to reap good. You sow evil, you're going to reap it back. For the one who sows in the flesh will reap corruption from the flesh, but the one who sows in the Ruach will reap from the Ruach eternal life. So let us not lose heart in doing good. Again, let us not lose heart, for in due time we will reap if we don't give up. Again, if we don't quit, if we don't compromise, we will see the fulfillment of his promises. Galatians 6:10, therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, let us do good toward all, especially those who belong to the household of faith, especially those who are our spiritual family in Messiah. We need to be there to help one another. A man's harvest in life is a result of what he has sown. Harvest only comes by sowing. We can't yield to discouragement. Don't wait for your circumstances to change before you start sowing. Again, everything we do in faith, you know, and sowing is, again, not just, you know, financially, but it's sowing in other people's lives, sowing the word into their life, sowing encouragement into their life, sowing love. Again, whatever we sow, whatever kind of seed we sow, that's what we're going to reap in our life based upon the word of God. You know, Minister Scott last year, and this is a good example, he went to the park and just collected some flower seeds that, you know, he wanted to plant for next year. So he put them aside and planted the seed outside. And for, you know, I don't know, it's been over maybe a month or more, you know, it was like, it looked like nothing was growing. It was like, you know, I thought, wow, you know, and he says, no, no, it's going to grow. So that seed was planted and now we can see it sprout up. And again, eventually there will be flowers in that pot. And it, again, there was, the seed was working behind the scenes and finally it manifested. Again, we need to trust the Father. Genesis 26:1. Now there was a famine in the land aside from the previous famine that happened in Abraham's days. So Isaac went to King Abimelech of the Philistines to Gerar. Then Adonai appeared to him and said, do not go down to Egypt, dwell in the land about which I tell you. So here God is giving him wisdom and direction. Live as an outsider in this land, and I will be with you and bless you. For to you and your seed, I will give all these lands. Again, this is the promise that he had given to Abraham and Israel, who was in his loins. And I will confirm my pledge that I swore to Abraham, your father. I will multiply your seed like the stars of the sky. And I will give you seed, your seed, all these lands. And in your seed, all the nations of the earth will continually be blessed. Because Abraham listened to my voice and kept my charge, my mitzvot, my decrees, and my instructions. Now, again, this was even before Moshe received the Torah on Mount Sinai. There was already a knowledge of, again, the Father's teachings and instructions that Abraham was already walking in. Again, he lived in a pagan land, the Ur of Chaldees, which was Iran. And he was the only one, again, that God found that he knew that Abraham would keep his covenant. Again, so through his seed would come Messiah. And again, we see that, you know, a couple thousand years later, or the 4,000 year, the fourth day, Messiah came and again and paid the redemption for our sins. And now it's been almost 2,000 years that, again, we are living, again, close to the end of this age and entering into the millennial, the eternal age of with Messiah. And it says, you know, even though it seems like it's taking long for him, we need to be faithful. You know, there are people living like he's never going to come back, you know, that, you know, eat, drink, and, you know, be merry, for tomorrow we die. They have no faith in God. They think that, you know, there's nothing to look forward to. Well, we have everything to look forward to. You know, we have, you know, ruling and reigning with Messiah. We have the heavenly Jerusalem to look forward to and the earthly Jerusalem. And again, God is faithful. He will not lie. Everything he promised in his word will come to pass. Some of it has already come to pass, and that in the future will come to pass as well. And that includes his promises to us to take care of us. Yeshua says, lo, I am with you always, even till the end of the world. Again, we need to find a need and plant a seed. Again, we need to sow into other people where we see, you know, don't be afraid to give something to somebody if the Father tells you to. Again, I'm not, you know, it could be money, but it could be something else, something from your house just to bless them with. Again, we need to plant the seed of the word. You know, there are people there that are needy, starving for the word of Yahweh. And again, in evangelism, you may not see an immediate result, but you're planting a seed of the word in somebody's heart. The next, somebody's going to come and water that seed with more word and intercession. And then finally, some will have the blessing of harvesting that seed and actually be able to pray with somebody and bring them to Messiah. So we all have a job. And just because we don't see results right away, we know that God's word is powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And I don't care how that person reacts from the word. That word is hitting the target every time, and that's their heart. Psalm 21:4, for the music director, Psalm of David. May Adonai answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the Elohim of Yaakov set you up securely in a high place. May he send you help from the sanctuary and support you from Zion. May he remember all your meal offerings and accept the fat of your burnt offering. Again, in Messiah, because we are walking in him. He is watching over us. Hallelujah. He is blessing us. He is taking care of us, you know, as long as we are trusting him and not speaking forth an evil report against his word. And we are to stand fast for what we believe and don't give up. Again, there's that saying, quitters never win and winners never quit. Again, Joshua and Caleb were, I mean, they were in there. They saw the same thing these other 10 saw, but the other 10 saw, all they saw was defeat. All they received was, again, the lies of the enemy to quit and go back into bondage. But Joshua and Caleb brought forth a good report. That's why they received the blessings that were promised. And they stood up against all these people that were ready to stone them and kill them, you know, but they says, no, we can take the land because they believed the promises of God. They didn't believe what they saw. They believed that God was mighty and able to do what he had promised to do. And we need to have that same kind of faith. John 8:31. Then Yeshua said to the Judeans who had trusted him, if you abide in my word, then you are truly my disciples. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So again, we need to daily abide in his word, daily meditate on scripture. And as we are, again, we will know the truth. Why the Ruach HaKodesh is going to give us revelation knowledge. He's going to open the truth of his word even deeper. And that truth will set us free, you know, whatever we need for our life, whenever we are praying for somebody else. Again, the truth is his word. His word is the truth. From Genesis, Bereshit, all the way to Revelation or Hitgalut in the Hebrew. We must not just be a starter, but we need to be a finisher. Anybody can start something, but we want to be ones who finish it. Again, we have to be disciplined. Faithfulness is required in all areas of surface. You know, again, just be, you know, cause, you know, maybe you're having a hard time, or maybe, you know, because our family isn't, you know, saving you, being saved, that we think. We don't know how many people that God is, you know, as we're praying and interceding, that he's led across their path, you know, and that he is faithful. Again, as we pray, we need to stand in faith and trust him. There is no easy way to victory, and there is a price to victory. And unfortunately, a lot of people don't want to pay that price. They want to take the easy way. Why do you call me master? Master, and do not do what I say. Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show you what he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid a foundation on the rock. And when a flood came, the torrent burst against that house, but could not shake it because it had been well built. But the one who hears yet does not do is like a man who built a house upon a land without a foundation. When the torrent burst against it, immediately it collapsed, and the destruction of the house was great. So here you see two kinds of people. One whose faith is grounded in the word, grounded deep in the word. Our roots are deep in the word. And when the flood comes, again, we are going to have, again, tests and trials in our life. But when it comes, we're not fazed by it. By when it comes, we're not shaken by it, because our faith has been built upon the word of God and his promises. But again, going back to Israel, you see that they heard the word, they heard the Torah, they heard the promises, they saw the miraculous, yet they were without a foundation because they didn't believe it. And again, when the torrent burst against it, immediately it collapsed and the destruction of the house was great. Again, what's that torrent? The lies of the enemy telling you that you can't do it. You don't have the talent. You don't have the ability, blah, blah, blah. I know, because he tried the same lies with me, and I'm sure all of you. It's like, no, we're founded on the rock, and that rock is Yeshua HaMashiach. And we know he is faithful. Again, I've been serving him for, you know, almost 50 years in a few years. And he has always been faithful to me. And yes, I have gone through tests and trials and rejection and persecution. But you know what? I know who I serve. I know his faithfulness. I know how he delivered me and set me free. Again, I wish I never had bothered with the world, you know, the world. Because, you know, some people say, well, you need to experience these things to have a greater testimony. You know, the greater testimony is never having experienced the dirt and sin of the world, because it took me years to get delivered from the garbage that I was involved in. It took me years for my mind to be renewed with the word of God. Praise God, I'm set free. But I would not have experienced that if I had not gone into the world. And again, I knew the Lord as a child. My grandmother sowed into my life, but I didn't have the support of my family. So, you know, when the persecution came, you know, I couldn't stand against it. And I went back, you know, I went into the world, but you know what? The Father was always there with me. And when I was like 20, 21, I gave my heart totally to Him, because why? I was of age. Nobody could tell me what to do. It was my choice. It was my decision, you know, but I never went back. Never had the desire to go back to that garbage that I was a part of, you know, that, and having to spend years of, again, getting, you know, delivered from, you know, demonic things that were strongholds in my mind. I mean, I was totally set free spiritually, but I had to, again, get my mind renewed and believe that God delivered me. You know, the greatest testimony is one who has walked with God constantly, you know, even as a child, and never turned back. But yes, God can use our testimonies. That yes, you know, even though I was involved in this and that, even though when I was in the world, He set me free. He delivered me. Again, you can't convince me that God's not real, because I know what He did in my life, you know, and the enemy will try to convince you that, you know, oh, God doesn't love you. You know, you've done, again, this is what He said to you, you've done too much in your life. What makes you think God loves you? This was when I was a new believer. And, you know, I cried out to God because I was being tormented, and I was young in the Lord, so I didn't know how to fight that torment. And He was, you know, trying to convince me that I wasn't really saved, that, you know, that you can't forgive me. And that night, again, I had a vision of Yeshua. Again, I was sitting in His presence, and this light started coming towards me. And the closer it came, my heart was just racing, and it was Yeshua. And the only thing He said was, Deborah, I love you. That was it. And then He gave me Romans 8, my favorite verse. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. And it goes on to, you know, say His promises. And He set me free from ever being convinced again that He doesn't love me. Because why? The enemy is a liar. If you hear voices in your mind that are contrary to the word of God, you know that's the voice of the enemy, because he's a liar. Again, we see in Israel, what do we learn? That they believe the voice of the enemy to, again, keep them from going into the promised land, keep them from receiving what God had called them to receive, and to believe an evil report, except for two, again, who had their foundation was on the rock, the promises of His word. James 1, 22 to 25, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deluding yourself. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he looks at himself and goes away, he immediately forgets what sort of person he was. But the one who looked intently into the perfect Torah, the Torah that gives freedom and continues in it, not becoming a hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he shall be blessed in what he does. Again, the one who only hears, again, you people can hear, listen to the word, but they never obey the word. They forget who they are in Messiah. Again, just like the 10 tribal leaders who came back with a bad report, they forgot who they were. They forgot that they were chosen by Yahweh Elohim to be His people. But again, they believed, they walked away. They forgot, again, what sort of person they were and God's deliverance. Joshua and Caleb, though, were those who looked into the perfect Torah, the Torah that gives freedom. They believed that there was freedom ahead of them and continues in it, not become a hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts. Again, we need just not to hear the word, but we need to walk in obedience to what the word of God says. We need to continue and persevere. Acts 1:14. All these with one mind were continuing together in prayer, along with the women and Miriam and Yeshua and His brothers. Again, they were meeting together, waiting for the promises, again, in context, that Yeshua said that they were to wait. Again, this was during Shavuot. Shavuot was the giving of the Ruach, and they were all together. They were continually praying in obedience until that manifestation came. Acts 2:42, they were devoting themselves to the teaching of the emissaries and to fellowship, to breaking bread, and to prayers. Again, they were devoted to one another. They were devoted to the teaching of the emissaries. Acts 14, 22, they were strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to persevere in faith, saying, it is through many persecutions that we must enter the kingdom of God. So God, again, we see in his word, our Father never promised that we wouldn't be persecuted, never promised that we wouldn't have a rough time. But again, we are to encourage, we are trying to, as a teacher of the word, we are encouraging you to persevere in faith, not to give up, not to, again, believe the bad report, but believe the good report of Yahweh Elohim. And again, he says, it's through many persecutions we must enter the kingdom of God. Colossians 1:23, if indeed you continue in the faith, established and firm, not budging from the hope of the good news that you have heard, this good news has been proclaimed throughout all creation under heaven, and I, Paul, have become its servant. What is the good news of Bessorah? The good news is Messiah has come, Messiah has conquered, and Messiah will return, Yeshua. Colossians 4:2, devote yourself to prayer, keeping alert in it with thanksgiving. Again, we need to, our strength comes from praying, you know, our personal devotion and prayer time, and our community prayer time as well. 1 Timothy 3:1 to 3:8, but understand this, that in the last days, hard times will come. Okay, warning, this is what's gonna come. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, hard-hearted, unforgiving, backbiting, without self-control, brutal, hating what is good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God or the Father, holding to an outward form of godliness but denying its power. Avoid these people. For among these are those who slip into households and deceive weak women weighed down with sins and led away by various desires, always learning yet never able to come to the knowledge of truth. Just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, again, they were the magicians, the sorcerers, when Moses was going before Pharaoh and showing the power of God against these liars, so did these people oppose the truth. Men corrupted in mind and worthless concerning the faith. But these people will not make any more progress for their folly, like that of Jannes and Jambres will be obvious to everyone. Again, Hebrews 13, 4 to 8, let marriage be held in honor among all and the marriage bed kept undefiled. For Yahweh will judge the sexually immoral and adulterers. Keep your lifestyle free from the love of money and be content with what you have. For God himself said, I will never leave you or forsake you. So with the confidence we say that the Lord, or Yahweh Elohim, who is Yeshua, is my helper, I will not fear. What will man do to me? Again, that should have been, again, this was the again, going back, reminiscing back to Joshua and Caleb, they said, we have nothing to fear. We know that the Father is on our side. We know he is our helper. We have nothing to fear. We can go forward and take what he said is ours. Verse 7, remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their life and imitate their faith. Yeshua the Messiah is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Again, just as Yeshua set people free in his time when he walked the earth, healed people, you know, told them the truth. He is the same. He'll do the same for us. You know, he has not changed. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. James, I already read that. Again, God requires us to be faithful in all areas. 1 Corinthians 4:1 and 2. So let each one think of us in this way, as Messiah's helpers and stewards of the mysteries of God. In this case, moreover, what is required of stewards is to be found trustworthy. Revelation 26 to 29. So let each one think of us in this way, as Messiah's helpers and again, stewards of the mysteries of God. I'm sorry, I read that. Revelations 2, 26. To the one who overcomes and guards my deeds until the end, I will give him authority over the nations. And he shall rule them with an iron rod, as when clay pots are broken into pieces. Even as I have received from my Father, so will I give him the morning star. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Ruach is saying to Messiah's communities. Again, joy and peace, Proverbs 3:1-3. My son, do not forget my teaching. Do not let your heart do, but let your heart keep my mitzvot. Every day now, when I do my devotionals in my book, it's Yahweh's Promises. In the back, I have listed all the 613 mitzvot, positive and negative. Every day, I write one down. And I read what the scripture says, you know, because so many people, they don't have a clue what's in the mitzvot. You know, they don't have a clue what's in the Torah. And I just, you know, along with my other devotional reading and listening to the Ruach speaking to me, he speaks to me through that. And he shows me the, you know, again, spiritual applications of who we are now in Messiah. He will open your eyes to that and see that the Torah is very practical. You know, yes, we don't do animal sacrifices anymore because Yeshua is the perfect sacrifice. Again, some promises, you know, belong to Israel, et cetera. If you take my class Torah in the Apostolic Scriptures, you'll learn that. But again, he speaks to us and we learn as we study. So again, I challenge you to do that. You know, it may take you a couple years because there's 613 of them, but some of them kind of repeat in different Torah portions. But it'll really open your eyes, again, to what his word is and hide it in your heart. Proverbs 4:10, listen, my son, and accept my words, so the years of your life will be many. Again, we need to listen to the Ruach, what he's saying. Accept his words. What are his words? What's written in the word? Proverbs 9:10-11. The fear of Adonai is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So again, he will give us, again, as we fear, walk in awe, respect, obedience to our Father. Again, we will see wisdom and knowledge, you know, growing in our Ruach and leading and guiding us. For through me, your days will be many and years will be added to your life. Psalm 118:16-17. Adonai's right hand is lifted high. Adonai's right hand is mighty. I will not die, but live and proclaim what Adonai has done. Again, this is David, one of the Psalms of David. He knew that Yahweh is higher than any other and that his right hand is mighty. Again, his right hand is Yeshua. I will not die, but live and proclaim what Adonai has done. Isaiah 54:15-17. Behold, anyone fiercely attacking is not from me. Whoever stirs up strife with you will fall because of you. Behold, I created the smith who blows the fire of coals and produces a weapon for its work. And I created the destroyer to ruin. Again, the destroyer has an end. Well, he will not be manifested anymore. No weapon formed against you will prosper, and you will condemn every tongue that rises against you in judgment. This is a heritage of Adonai's servants. Their vindication is from me. It is a declaration of Adonai. Again, the weapon of HaSatan are his lies, his contradictions of the word. And again, we stand against that. You know, we stand to use our authority in Messiah and say, in the name of Yeshua, you are rebuked, adversary. You are rebuked, HaSatan. And I will not listen to your lies. I will not agree with your lies, but I will only agree with what Yahweh Elohim and his word has said. Psalm 9:3, I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praises to your name, Elyon. Again, this my word talks about the sacrifice of praise. We need to be glad and rejoice even in the midst of our trials. We need to sing praises to him, you know, even in the face of the enemy. We need to continually lift him up on high. Proverbs 10:27-7, the memory of the righteous is a blessing, but the name of the wicked will rot. Hallelujah. Thank you for your word. I'm going to end with this. Again, obviously, there's going to be a part three because I wanted to focus on this first because there's so much in this segment, but we got plenty of time. Hallelujah. So I just want to see again, I was doing some research and I was looking up some of the, again, Jewish quotes regarding faith and emunah. Again, the word was originally delivered to Israel and the Jewish, and the Jews were a part of, and then they became the predominant tribe because of, again, the northern tribes going into captivity and staying there, except for the few that returned. But again, even the Jewish people, again, the teaching of faith and walking in God is firmly planted in the word. So I'm just going to read you these quotes. Number one, with faith, there are no questions. Without faith, there are no answers. The Chofetz Chaim, again, these are Jewish teachers and sages. Number two, faith is not a series of theorems, but a way of life. Shmuel Hugo Bergman. Number three, the world stands upon three things, Torah, worship, and loving deeds. That's the sayings of the Father, Perkei Avot, 1-2 of the Fathers. The greater your need, the nearer is God, which is a Yiddish proverb. The end of faith is but the pursuit of good, Mishle Yehoshua. Six, God knows the best synagogue is the human heart. Again, the synagogue was a place of worship. The synagogue was a place of hearing the word. You know, the Ruach, again, I can give you a script. I mean, this is in total agreement with the word. The word of God says that we are the temple of the Ruach HaKodesh. And this was a Hasidic proverb. Number seven, man can never be happy if he does not nourish his soul as he does his body. Rabbi Menachem Schneerson. Eight, faith is the root and foundation of all holiness. Nachman of Breslov. Number nine, faith is the essence of Torah. Michar Hapaninam. And faith is the essence of the word. 10, there is no love without total faith. Noam Hamidot. Number 11, the righteous man shall live by his faith. Habakkuk 2:4. I know most of us know that verse. So again, the righteous, because we are the righteousness of God and Messiah Yeshua, we should, again, be living by our faith, our trust, our emunah, faithfulness. 12, a man should believe in God through faith, not because of miracles. In other words, not that, you know, miracles, you know, don't happen. I mean, Yeshua did miracles, you know, because he was, again, fulfilling the Torah promises to Israel, you know, but again, we should believe in God through faith, not just because a miracle happens. Yes, miracles are a product of our faith, but we believe in the Father. We believe in God, even though we may not see the manifestation right away. 13, faith is beyond intelligence and perception. Again, faith is of the spirit, not of the mind or what we see or what we think. There can be no faith without truth. In other words, what, you know, Yeshua say that the truth, that you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. The truth is, again, his word, his Torah. 15, obeying from love is better than to obey from fear, Rashi. 16, there is nothing greater than faith, Mikvar Hapaninum. 17, no man is rewarded because God owes it to him, but God grants reward out of his grace. Number 18, who has no faith would be better off unborn. In other words, faith and walking in faith is what, you know, gives us life. We are all called to walk by faith. Those of us that, you know, believe in the Father, again, Yeshua taught that all through the Torah, all through the prophets, all through the New Testament. We are to walk in faith and trust and obedience to the Father. Number 19, the best worship is silence and hope. In other words, the best worship is not, you know, saying, well, I don't know. And I don't, you know, is, you know, I don't think he can do it. I don't think he's going to answer me. It's silence. Why? Because, you know, you don't have to defend your faith. You know that God is faithful. And again, your hope, you know, faith is, Hebrews talks about faith is, you know, the things hoped for and the evidence of what's not seen. 20, even during the time of Jerusalem stumbling, men of faith did not cease from there. Again, God always has a remnant of men and women who will walk with him, who will believe him, who will do what he has called them to do and continue. Again, Joshua and Caleb's, again, are example. Elijah, Elisha, Nehemiah, Daniel, all these great men of faith and the women of faith, given for our examples. 21, a man should always be in the habit of saying, whatever God did, he did for the best. Again, it's trusting him that he knows what is best for our life. And last, the exiles will be gathered and only at the price of faith. Again, we need to be faithful to his word to the very end. Hallelujah. Vian McKenna, our Father, our King, Father, I thank you for your word today. I thank you for your encouragement, Father, to us to not give up, not to live hope, lose hope, not to believe the lies of the enemy, but to believe your truth in Yeshua's name. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay.